We are starting a brand new series called Going Public with Your Faith. If you long to reach people in your world for Christ, then stay with us. We're going to take an exciting journey together.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and as Chip just said, we're beginning a new series of broadcasts on Going Public with Your Faith. Well, for most of us, sharing our faith is intimidating. The fear of rejection or ridicule can cause us to become secret agent Christians. But as we'll learn, there are ways to share your faith that will come naturally and comfortably to you. And today, Chip will share the first steps in that process. If you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can always hear Living on the Edge 24 hours a day online at lote.org. Again, that's lote.org. Now with today's talk, here's Chip.
When people go public, I've learned there's a lot of research that goes into it. People don't go public unless they know there's a quality product. Usually there's some people with venture capital and they say, hey, this is a good thing, a good product, a good service, a new technology. I mean, this is really going to help people. And then investors get behind it, and then someone goes public. And not only are they blessed, but then thousands, if not millions of other people. And I just want to remind you that you have a lot more inside you than any IPO that's ever started in the Silicon Valley. The Bible says that you have a treasure in you, a priceless treasure if you're a believer in Christ, and I do. And that treasure is in a clay pot, speaking of our bodies. And God wants to reveal through you the treasure of the gospel of the living Christ. Now, with IPOs, you know, only we think really smart dot-com, you know, Silicon Valley guys or women can do that. And I think in the church, sometimes we think that the only people that can really go public with their faith are kind of like superstars, or they know more than us, and that we sort of know God wants us all to, but we don't really think we will. That's for someone else. And I want to start this series just casually by reminding you that going public is for everyone. It's not limited to really smart Christians or people that have had dramatic experiences. Going public is for every single believer. In fact, Matthew 5:16, let your light, not someone else's, let your light shine before men that they could see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And Jesus, before he's ascended, remember what he said to all the disciples? He said, but you'll receive power. And so did we when we trusted Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Apostle Paul says God's heart, his desire, his wish is that not a single person would perish, but that everyone would come to a knowledge of the truth in 1 Timothy 2:4. And then he goes on to tell us that everyone who believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if no one tells them? And how can anyone tell them if someone doesn't preach? That's Romans 10:13-14. The final thing Jesus said to his disciples as he was ascending, he said, go. This is a command. This isn't an option. Go and preach, announce the good news, the wonderful message, the good tidings of forgiveness that's been purchased to every single person on the earth. Now, what I've learned over the years, I've been a Christian about 8 years now. I didn't grow up in the church, but what I've learned is when we start talking about going public with our faith, there's two extremes. There's about 10 to 15% of the people who are starting to get very excited, even as I'm talking. They go public. They want everyone to go public. They have the gift of evangelism, probably, and their heart's beating a little faster, like, all right, all right, all right. And then there's the other 85% who are feeling mild levels of fear. Are we going to start talking about going public with our faith? I don't know enough. I don't know the Bible, I'm afraid. Are we going to spend a long time talking about this? Because I always get uncomfortable because those verses you just quoted, I'm pretty familiar with some of those. And if the truth is known, I'm not very public with my faith. And so I call it the guilt, fear, guilt cycle. Guilt because I'm not really doing and I'm not sharing and I'm not going public. But when I start thinking about, oh, I think I will, then I get afraid. Afraid I'll be rejected. Afraid I won't have the answer. And so then I don't. And so then I feel guilty again. And so it's amazing the number of Christians that are immobilized by guilt, fear, guilt. And so before we start, before we teach, I want to just tell you my journey. Because I think sometimes people think that this going public is just an instantaneous. Going public is a process. Okay? And when you first become a Christian, and depending on your spiritual growth, you will go public in different ways. I'm going to just tell you the thumbnail sketch of my life of going public and communicating my faith. I started out as a secret agent Christian. I'm serious. The Bible was never read in my home. I did not grow up in a church where they taught or preached the Bible. In fact, it wasn't good at all. And I went to a camp, and I heard the scripture and the gospel for the first time, and I saw professional athletes really love one another and some college athletes. And the last night, I prayed to receive Christ, had no idea what I was doing. Heard Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, behold, I'll come in. I'll have a relationship with him. And I remember I prayed a very theological prayer like, I don't have a clue of what it means to have a relationship or you to come in my life, but whatever that means, I want it. And God even heard that. But when I went home, I thought, my parents are going to think I have flipped out. And so they gave me a Bible, like a Good News for Modern Man. I stuck it under my pillow, and I did not let anybody see it. And I read it in the morning, and I read it at night. And little by little, the light began to grow. I went away to college, and so I was still a secret agent. I didn't tell anybody I was a Christian. And I met a fellow who was a bricklayer trained by the Navigators, and we began to have some Bible studies. And after 3 or 4 or 5 months, I began to grow and get stronger and realized I need to fly my flag. And I was really into sports, and so what I did when I went to school, I took all my Sports Illustrateds. I had like a box of them, you know, like 50 or 100. And I took the front cover off of all my Sports Illustrateds, just an old dorm room, and I used it as wallpaper on my site. And my roommate was a wrestler. I was in the athletic dorm, and I was the basketball player. And so I put Sports Illustrated covers, so I had wallpaper. And then at the very top, with masking tape, I made out the letters, "To God be the glory." And for me, that was going public. So when you came in my dorm, you know, this guy's really into sports, and he's into God, whatever that means. Then I went home that summer, and I went public at home. And I told my mom and dad, I don't really understand it all, and I know we've gone to church, but I have a personal relationship with Christ now. And they kind of tilted their head, and that's nice. Like, what's that mean? And they watched my life that summer. And by the end of the summer, my dad said, you've got something I don't have. How do you get it? And now I'm a Christian about a year. I don't know. I couldn't articulate the gospel. I couldn't draw a little illustration. I said, Dad, just start reading the Bible. That's what I did. And so, you know, I'm a Christian a full year, and I don't have a clue of how to communicate how another person become a Christian yet. Now, I stayed with that group, and I began to grow, and I learned some verses, and then pretty soon I got a lot of zeal, and you can imagine my personality type when I get turned on. Well, I went from being a public Christian to being an obnoxious Christian. Everywhere I went, whether you wanted to hear about Christ, whether it was the right time to hear about Christ, whether it was appropriate to hear about Christ, I got this illustration, I got these 5 verses, and I'm going to tell everybody. And a lot of it wasn't wrapped up so much in that I love people so much, but I had this zeal, a zeal without knowledge, a zeal without discernment, a zeal without a lot of things. And I mean, I was a jerk. You have met Christians like me before. In fact, what's bad is I met Christians like me, and they turned me off to Christianity, and I turned around and became an obnoxious Christian. And I did that for like 2 years, maybe a little more. And I remember walking across the quadrangle at our college, and a gal who was I knew well from my freshman year, and we stopped and talked, and I had this habit. Whatever you said, I gave you a verse, because I'm memorizing zillions of verses. So she asked a question, I gave her a verse. She said something about this, I gave her a verse. She said something else, I gave her a verse. And then she tilted her head, real cute little gal, and she smiled. She said, you know, Chip, I remember when you used to be a nice guy. And she said, you know, you used to be able to talk to you, and you had a real joy in your life, and I like being around you, but you know something? You just have an answer for everything and everyone, and you're always spouting off verses. And I don't know very much what God's like, but if it's a lot like this, I don't think I'm very interested. Like God spoke directly. The next several years was the journey of learning when to speak and when not to speak, of God developing a heart and some skills and discernment and learning to be bold, and when he gives you a nudge and following through with it, and learning at times just to listen and love and care. And I got to the point where over a period of years, just sharing my faith became as natural as playing ball or going to work, and God would show me when. And there were times when he would prompt me and I wouldn't do it, and there's times where he'd prompt me and I would. And I made it just, this was a part of who I am. I mean, I'm a man, I'm married, I have four kids, I'm a believer, I'm interested, as you all know, in basketball, I like this, I don't do this. It's just a part of who I am, and it became a very natural expression of my life. And that was a journey. Now, what I want you to finally understand where I'm at today, because sometimes you hear pastors, and I'm taking a little bit of time here, and I want you to know it's a process, and the goal is not for you to, oh gosh, I'm going to feel guilty for 6 weeks, and we're going to talk about how we're supposed to be a witness, and I know I'm not much of a witness. You know, can all that, okay? That's not where we're going. Right now, in my life, I go through what I think are normal cycles of great evangelistic zeal. I mean, where my heart breaks for irreligious people, and where I'm finding myself building relationships and caring about them and sharing my testimony and sharing the gospel and periodically seeing people come to Christ. And then I have other normal seasons of my life of spiritual apathy where I get so busy and so focused and there's so much going on, I'll realize I can't name two people that don't know the Lord that I've got any kind of friendship with, and I can't remember when I've shared my faith and shared the gospel, and I can go for months and not lead anyone to Christ. So all I'm telling you is I think that's fairly normal. But I don't think God wants those cycles to be too far apart. Let's do a little inventory. I mean, you don't know how to grow until you evaluate where you're at. All I want you to get is I want you to be able to evaluate, in general, do you happen to be a believer in Christ who has a passion for people who are lost? And by the way, lost, I don't mean pejoratively. Lost means someone who just hasn't met Christ yet. And so what I want you to find out is, do you have a passion for irreligious people? And are you presently on course of being a vehicle that God is using or not? And you don't need to feel bad or guilty or terrible. I just want you to find out where you are so that we can make progress together, okay? What we're going to do is take your evangelistic temperature. Ready? I'll read the questions and you mentally or with a pen check them. Question number one, I periodically experience waves of compassion and empathy for those outside of Christ. If that's true, put a check mark. I have two or three deep, forget the word deep, two or three friendships with unbelievers. I had one lady last night said, well, you know, I have some friendships, but they're not that deep and I guess I'm a bad person. No, do you have some friends that don't know the Lord? All right. Third, I have two or more non-church people in my home last month. Now, if it was, you know, the month before, you know, but are you on a regular basis having people that don't know Christ in your home where you're building relationships? That's the core of the question. Four, I intentionally build relationship with those outside of Christ by doing activities with them, such as shopping, hobbies, and recreation. True or false? Five, I've invited someone to church in the last 3 weeks, or four, or five, or six. It's something you do normally. Six, I've shared my testimony with the irreligious person in the last month, or recently. You've told them how you've come to Christ. Seven, I've shared the gospel with someone in the last month. You've actually shared with them, this is how you can become a Christian. This is the good news. Have you done that recently? And then finally, I regularly pray for lost people or irreligious people by name. It's just a part of who you are. There's some people that don't know Christ yet. You love them and you pray for them. Okay, have you got it? Now, the goal is only for you to find out where you are. I was in Chicago with my wife and my son. I went to a conference and there's a church there with a guy who has an evangelistic heart about as big as this room. And as I went to this conference, this fellow, his name's Bill Hybels, talked about evangelism. And he put this little chart on the board. And he said, it seems to me, he said, let's just evaluate this. There's an X and a Y axis. The Y axis up and down is evangelistic zeal. Now, and by evangelistic zeal, a zero is you don't care at all. about irreligious people. 100 would be you think about them, you pray for them, you know, you put truths on every single question that I just ask, and you hurt for them, and you build relationships, and you share how you became a Christian, and you invite them over to your house, and you're looking for ways for them to see and know the light. So that's the up and down, or the y-axis. The x-axis is how long you've been a Christian. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, whatever. And he just made this observation. He said, it would seem logical that the longer a person is a Christian, the more years, then the better they know God, the more they realize how much God has loved and forgiven them, that it would seem that every year their evangelistic zeal would go up, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that just make logical sense? I love God more. I realize how much God loves me. I have a longer track record of how good He's been to me. Then you would naturally get on your heart what are on the heart of God. And he said, wouldn't you think that? And you know, I don't know about you, but I can't argue with that logic. And then he made a point that I was aware of already. The average born-again believer in America, after they've been a Christian for 2 years, has zero non-Christian friends. Zero. What happens is the church becomes a club. All your social time is with Christians. Work time is, you know, those people, they live a different way, and, you know, I don't want to be worldly, so I don't want to have any connection with them. And so we find our kids on Christian teams with Christian schools and Christian here and Christian Bible studies, and then our lives get fast, and we have no relationship with unbelievers. And it's pretty hard to let your light so shine before men if you don't have any relationships. And that is the fact of the matter. Now, please, this is not to make you feel guilty. This is to get us clear. 9 out of 10 Christians in America have never, ever led another person to Christ. Ever. Some who've been Christians 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They've never sat across a coffee table. They've never sat in a car after a service. They've never been in a restaurant and drawn a little picture or put some verses on a napkin, and another person said, oh, you mean Jesus died for me in my place? Yeah. You mean He's forgiven me all that I've done? Yeah. And you mean I need to, by faith, cross this bridge and receive Him as my Savior? Yeah. How do you do that? You can pray and receive Him right now. And they bow their head and pray, and they're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. 9 out of 10 Christians in America have never, ever done that. See, the early church did not have Peter speak on the weekends and everyone try and get everyone from Jerusalem to come hear Peter. And maybe now and then, Peter, I hope somehow you or James or one of the guys can preach and someone will become a Christian. The early church was equipped, and they went out, and in very casual, winsome, natural terms, they didn't go out as prosecuting attorneys trying to tell everyone what they needed to hear. They went out to tell everyone, have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Do you know? Do you understand? You know all that weight, that sin, those struggles, those pains? Jesus was the Messiah. He forgave all my sins. And I received Him and I believed on Him. He's transformed my life. He's transformed my marriage. He's transformed my home. He's transformed my work. Have you heard? It's a free gift. And they went around and told people. And people said, no kidding, no kidding. And they saw the change and they believed. The early church in the first 5 to 10 years exploded in tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. Because 90% of the early church shared their faith instead of about 10.
Well, thanks, Chip. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, How to Prepare Your Spiritual IPO, is from a groundbreaking series called Going Public with Your Faith. If you get nervous or scared when you consider sharing your faith with others, you need to get this series. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style, and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for successfully sharing your testimony, and you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available right now from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. Now call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another resource that he'd like to get in your hands this month. Well, here's Chip with more.
Hi, this is Chip, and I realize as we start talking about sharing your faith, two things happen. One, you get excited and think, oh, I want to do that. And two, you think, oh, no, it's hard. Who am I going to share it with? I'll be rejected. So what I want you to know is we have a tool that can help you be successful. It's called Why I Believe. It's a series that addresses the toughest questions that non-believers are going to ask you. And if you want a door opener, I mean a door opener that you can say, hey, what do you think of this, that will let unbelievers know you don't have to throw your brains in the trash to believe in Jesus, this is going to be a great help for you. Your spiritual IPO can be successful, and we want to put a tool in your hand to make it so.
Well, thanks, Chip. For a limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. Now, it's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. To take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the 5-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003. 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
You know, in the Silicon Valley, an IPO is a very special thing. Lots of people get very, very rich. It's that initial public offering. When those capital investment people get behind a great idea and you get the right people in the right spot and it's the right product, and boom, it goes on the market. But you know something? That is, that's a pretty small deal when you think about a spiritual IPO. You know, God has a plan for your life. He's uniquely made you. You know some people that no one else will know the way you know them. He's put you in a job, in a neighborhood, with a background, with an experience, and with a personality that no one else in the world has. But here's the tragedy. There's a lot of us as believers who've never gone public. People don't know we're a believer. We've never communicated, this is who we are, and we often don't know how to communicate the love of Christ. You know, we learned today that going public isn't for superstars, is it? It's for everyone. Jesus even said to his followers, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, as we walk with Christ naturally, he is going to use us to reach others. But my experience is the average person is either very afraid or very ill-equipped to share their faith. I know I was. And this series is going to be about helping you get equipped. And just to take some pressure off, going public is a process. All right. I shared a little bit in today's message about how I started out as a secret agent Christian. I mean, I was in the faith, but no one knew, me and God. And it was because I was afraid. It was because I didn't understand some things. But it was also because I thought I had to have all the answers. I had to be very articulate. I had to have it all together. I want you to know the process of going public will take time. You'll learn a little bit at a time, and at the end of each broadcast, I'm going to give you one baby step to take that if you will hang in there with me and pray and ask God for a little bit of courage, you are going to find yourself about 2 weeks from now actually communicating your faith, maybe like never before, and seeing God use you. And you say, well, Chip, how do you know that? I know that because we taught this in the life of our church, and at the end of every message, we as a church took a little baby step. And then people came back and they emailed me and told me, you can't believe it, Chip, I've never shared my faith, but I took that little baby step and God opened a door. So pray, ask God to help you go public with your faith.
Well, thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can watch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. Now, this new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram, and it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV each Monday night at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Druey. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.